Hello everyone, this is the CircuitPython weekly meeting for July 20th, 2026. It's the time of the week where we get together to talk about all things CircuitPython. I'm Scott, and I'm sponsored by Adafruit to work on CircuitPython. CircuitPython is a version of Python designed to run on tiny computers called microcontrollers. CircuitPython development is primarily sponsored by Adafruit, so if you want to support Adafruit and CircuitPython, consider purchasing hardware from adafruit.com or one of our resellers. This meeting is hosted on the Adafruit Discord server. You can join anytime by going to the URL adafru.it/discord. We hold the meeting in the CircuitPython Dev text channel and the CircuitPython voice channel. This meeting typically happens on Mondays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, except when it coincides with a U.S. holiday. In the notes doc, there's a link to the calendar you can view online or add to your favorite calendar app. We also send notifications about upcoming meetings via Discord. If you'd like to receive these notifications, ask us to add you to the @CircuitPythonistas Discord role. There is a shared notes doc that accompanies the meeting and recording. You can contribute to this beforehand. The final notes doc includes timestamps to go along with the video, so you can use the doc to skip around and view parts of the video that interest you most. It tends to run 30 to 60 minutes. After each meeting, we post a link to the next meeting's notes doc to the CircuitPython Dev channel on the Discord server. Check the pinned messages to find the latest doc or the next upcoming doc so you can add your notes for the following meeting. If you wish to participate but cannot attend, you can leave hug reports and status updates in the document and we'll read it off for you. This meeting is held in five parts: community news, the state of CircuitPython libraries in Blinka, hug reports, status updates, and in the weeds. And with that, I'm going to get started with community news after I switch to the notes doc. Okay, so for community news, this is a preview of stuff that went out in our newsletter today. Thanks to Anne for putting it together. These are just a few of those, and I'll tell you how to get the full newsletter at the end. First up, the AMI board is a MicroPython-based Eurorack module. It's a complete audio synthesizer for $29.90 US that can be at least three things: a synthesizer, dev board, and Eurorack module. It's open source, has a Stemma QT / quick port for expansion, and ships with MicroPython firmware. Next up, and one that I need to look into, is MicroPython on the Super Nintendo. Python on the SNES has been a dream of Fabian Kubler for a long time. Claude Fable 5 came out and Fabian thought, this would make a great benchmark for the model. Porting MicroPython to the SNES, a 3.58 MHz CPU, 128 kilobytes of RAM, 64-bit integers, and a niche C compiler. And there's links to Fabian's GitHub repo and a blog about it. That's pretty awesome. 313. Okay, comparing MicroPython, Zephyr, Lua, and Forth. One of MicroPython's best features is the REPL, read, evaluate, print loop, which allows a person to write Python code and interact with their hardware, all from a serial connection. Lua and Forth are two other interpreted languages that came up in my research as being particularly well-suited for embedded systems. So, how do these tools and the Zephyr shell stack up against each other? There's a blog from maker.io. So those three things are just a preview of the newsletter. The newsletter is the Python on Microcontrollers weekly newsletter. It's a CircuitPython community run newsletter emailed every Monday. The complete archives are available at the URL adafruitdaily.com/categories/CircuitPython. It highlights the latest Python on hardware related news from around the web, including CircuitPython, Python, and MicroPython developments. To contribute your own news or project, you can email cpnews@adafruit.com, and we're excited to see your contributions. Okay, so that's first up. Second up, we have the state of CircuitPython libraries in Blinka. This is a statistical overview of how the repositories for all of these different projects are working. I will start with the overview, followed up with the core, and then ask Tim to cover the libraries in just a moment. Overall, we had 17 pull requests merged from 7 different authors. So new names to me are GR Grant, 94XHN. Those are all infrequent folks or new names to me, so thank you to the new folks. We had 4 reviewers, including Blitz City DIY, so thank you to those reviewers. We're always looking for more reviewers because that helps us scale our contributors as well. Issues-wise, overall, we had 12 closed issues by 4 people and 3 open by 3 people. So we're net down. We're keeping up with stuff, so that's great. And a few people are involved. Next up is the stats for the core. In the core, we had 13 pull requests merged from 5 different authors. 94XHN is a new one, and Jepler and Mikey Sklar and Fomigar are infrequent contributors. Thanks to them, 2 reviewers, Dan and myself. We have 15 open pull requests, so we're comfortably under the goal of staying on a single page of 25. Issues-wise, we had 10 closed issues by 3 people, 2 opens by 2 people, so really getting through issues, which is awesome. We have 766 open issues. We use the milestone system to prioritize our work on that from the Adafruit-funded side. We have 664 open issues marked long-term, so the bulk of those are long-term. That basically means that it's not a high priority for us Adafruit-funded folks, but if somebody does find an issue that's marked long-term, you're more than welcome to work on it, and we'll help you with reviews and tips and stuff to make that happen. Our current stable release is 10.2, and there's no open issues on that. Our next minor stable release will be 10.3, and there are 23 open issues there, so we're working on that. And that is the state for the core. Let's hear from Foamy Guy about the libraries.
Yeah, thanks, Scott. This section does cover all of CircuitPython libraries, which are hosted on GitHub under two different library bundles we have there. The Adafruit library bundle currently has 395 libraries in it, and the community library bundle currently has 177, or actually 178, because I think I merged one after these stats were taken. And that leaves us with a total of 573 right now across both of those bundles. There were 4 pull requests merged over the past week by 4 different authors. Thanks to Dan, G.R. Grant, Liz, and myself. We had 3 reviewers, thanks to Liz, Scott, and myself. On the merged pull requests, they were more or less all on the newer side of things. The oldest one was about 2 weeks old, 13 days, and the newest ones were down at 1 day. That leaves us right now with 41 pull requests open. The oldest one of those is a draft that's 1,432 days. The newest one is 2 days. And then issues-wise, we had 2 issues closed by 1 person, 1 new issue opened up by 1 person, and that leaves us right now with 782 open issues across those Adafruit bundle CircuitPython libraries. And there are 2 of them right now that are labeled as good first issues. You can find those 2 and the rest over at circuitpython.org/contributing, which is a website where you should head if you would like to get involved contributing to CircuitPython on the Python side of things. The first place that we tend to point folks if they want to get involved but don't have a specific idea of what they want to work on is reviewing PRs. Like Scott mentioned, the more reviewers we get, the more contributors we can support. So if you load up that page, circuitpython.org/contributing, what you will see when it first loads is a list of open PRs. These are oftentimes waiting for a person to review them. Sometimes they've been reviewed and they're waiting for a response from the author, but other times they are waiting for a review, and that can be something that you could do if you're interested in it. The process for that is just kind of look through the list, find something that's interesting to you, that you've got some knowledge of, or that you've got the hardware for. Click through to GitHub, read about what the pull request was, what the proposed change in that new code is, and then comment on GitHub letting us know what you found when you looked it over. You can review the code for spelling, syntax, logic, everything like that. If you do have the hardware, you can also test it out on hardware, and in your comment, just include those details. Let us know what you found when you looked it over, and if you were able to try it out on hardware, let us know how that went. If you get comfortable with the process, would like to join the official review team that we have over on GitHub so you get notifications and other helpful tools to keep reviewing more, we can work with you to add you to that. If you would like to start contributing some of your own code, you can also get started down that road from the same webpage on the contributing page. If you click over to the Issues tab, what you will find is a similar-looking list of links over to GitHub, but these ones don't have a proposed change yet. They're waiting for a person who wants to make a change to either fix a bug or add a new feature or a new enhancement to a library, something like that. The process for those is just click through, read about what the issue is, and then you would submit your own PR to resolve that issue. We do have a learn guide for contributing to CircuitPython using Git and GitHub, and we also have folks who are around throughout the week who are more than happy to help you get spun up. So if you are Wanting to review or contribute your own PRs, if you're having trouble with GitHub or version control or pre-commit or any other part of the process, come say hi on the Discord here. The help with channel will be best for that, and there will be folks there who are happy to help you out. We want everyone to be able to contribute in whatever way works for them. And I will leave you this week with the new library over in the community bundle is the DS1302, which I believe is a RTC breakout. So check that out if you are interested. And that's what we've got for libraries. Thanks.
Thank you, Tim. Okay, next up, I will do the stats for Blinka. So this is kind of the third portion of kind of the CircuitPython project overall. So Blinka provides the CircuitPython API, but on other platforms besides the CircuitPython core. So this is single board computers like Raspberry Pi via Linux and also on MicroPython. So it brings all of the libraries that Tim just talked about and brings them to other platforms. So that's what Blinka does. Blinka was pretty quiet over the last week. There were zero pull requests merged from zero authors. There are 9 open pull requests, which I think is actually lower than it has been, so that's good. No closed issues, none open, so all in all, a quiet time in Blinka land. The total number of supported boards currently stands at 174. And that's that. Next up, we have Hug Reports. Hug Reports is a chance for us to say thank you to the folks that work in CircuitPython land and abroad, or more broadly. For what they've been doing. It's both good to give people recognition and also emphasize kind of what we value as a community. So I will start, and then we'll go through the list of folks in the notes doc. You can put notes in the notes doc and say that you're text only, and I'm happy to read those off. So just know that even if you're listening to this after the fact, you can totally do that. All right, so for me, I wanted to just say hug to Mikey Sklar for all of their LLM-powered fixes. They've been finding some really tricky bugs that like totally seem legit, and the reports of those have been quite clean, and the fixes are small, so they've just been really good use, in my opinion, of using LLMs to make things better. So I'm excited to see them experimenting with that and using LLMs to find CircuitPython bugs. So thanks to Mikey for that. Next up is Dan.
Okay, thanks. I also echo what Scott said about Mikey Sklar's fixing USB bugs. These are things that if we had to do them by hand, it could take a week or two to figure out certain things. And so the LLM is very good at for instance, instrumenting a program and figuring out exactly what's going on. It saves a lot of time. And then so thanks to Scott also for some discussions about various settings.toml options that I've added recently, which we have to carefully balance, like kind of the issue of making something powerful, but also making it not too dangerous for the user, and there are kind of policy questions associated with this. And we've had some really good discussions about that. And that's it for me.
Thank you, Dan. Next up is Foamy Guy.
All right. I have a hug report first for Smitka. Again, I think I have mentioned the last couple of meetings, but for more work on Pico Game and this week for picking up where I left off on the gamepad support. Thanks also to Relic SE and Dan for review and discussion on the granular pitch shift PR from last week. Thanks to Dan as well for the new USB storage capabilities and other capabilities that have been added to settings.toml recently. I think those configurability stuff, I should say, is really neat. And a group hug for everyone. Thanks.
Thank you, Foamy Guy. Next up, I have two folks who weren't able to make it. First, from Liz, a hug to Foamy Guy for assisting with the CST8XX library. And next up, we have from Toddbot, a hug to Jepler for the native module support. Jeff dusted it off and got it not enabled, but enableable. So Todd says thanks to Jeff for that. Todd also says hug to Foamy Guy for granular pitch shifter effect and audio file writer, and for SDIO for RP2. And then lastly, Todd says a hug to Relic SE for the audio effect reviews and general synth IO audio stuff. All right, that is all for Hug Reports. Next, let's go to status updates. This is done in a similar fashion. You can drop notes here and I'll read them off. We'll go in the order of the notes doc. But this time it's a chance to talk about what you did in the past week and what you were working on in the coming week. This is a good segue to doing collaboration between folks, and also cool to see what everybody's working on. So I will start and we'll go through the list here. So I am still heads down working on the Game Boy cart. This should be my last week of doing it. I think I can get to the point where maybe we'll sell them, which will be cool. So first up, I have this kind of complicated PIO to DMA to back to PIO system set up and working. I've covered it on the deep dive on Friday, so if you're curious about that. But basically, it's a way to get reading kind of Game Boy cart memory automatically done, so the CPU doesn't have to be involved at all. So now I need to connect that mechanic to the existing GBIO API, which basically allows you to queue up instructions to run. And then once I do that, I can revive the old demos I did. Two that I can think of is the old Celeste port that I did, and then also the MIDI player support. So I'm going to dust those off and get everything tested for the Game Boy cart, which I think I'll call Blink-a-cart. But we'll see. And then just notes for folks, I think I'm going to be able to make it to a conference, to SuperCon, which is at the they just announced the dates and the call for proposals. That's the in Pasadena at the start of November. So I think I'm going to try to make that. I'm going to plan on applying for a talk on the hardware of the loop and also maybe the Game Boy cart. But the hardware of the loop stuff is kind of like the theme of the year, so we'll see. And that's where I'm at. Let's go to Dan.
Okay, so I've been doing yet more fixes for CircuitPython 10.3.0. We're working on lowering and the simple thing is to fix, lower the default transmit power on Wi-Fi boards that use chip antennas. There are a number of cases where these boards, the chip antennas aren't matched that well with the RF circuitry on the chips. And if you use the max power available, then something heats up internally, probably because there's somewhat of a mismatch, and then you have a lot of RF problems. So if we reduce the transmit power from 20 dBm to 15, that seems to help. So I'm going to do that for all boards with chip antennas, unless I hear otherwise from some of the manufacturers. I'm working on updating ULAB. I just did that, but it's blowing out the storage in a bunch of cases, so we probably have to turn off some of the features on the boards that are overflowing. I added this thing, which maybe I mentioned last week, I can't remember, but the idea is that on a board where code.py is already running or in the REPL, it's actually possible to turn off the CircuitPy drive by telling the host computer that the drive is not ready. You have to do this carefully with the writing process. But this would be very useful for just being able to edit CircuitPy through the REPL, which a lot of editors want to do. And normally CircuitPy is not writable when the host is working on it. So you have to do a remount in boot.py, and this is a simpler way of allowing that. So that'll be going in too. And so with these and a bunch of other fixes, we'll probably have a 10.3.0 alpha 4 within a few days, if not sooner. And that's it.
Sounds good. Thank you, Dan. And last up, we have Foamy Guy.
All right. Thank you, Scott. Last week, I was working on a new guide for a USB MIDI keyboard sampler project. I think I mentioned it during the meeting last week, but it's inspired by the old Casio SK1. This one runs on a Fruit Jam, so look forward to that guide coming out soon. After I got that wrapped up, I moved on to reverse engineering the Teenage Engineering Ting FX or EP2350 device, which is a little handheld microphone device, has a 3.5 millimeter jack, has a microphone, couple of buttons, a volume knob, that sort of stuff. And it runs MicroPython, but it does run a custom build of MicroPython, and they added some secret sauce to control the audio and do all of the stuff that the device does out of the box. But I have been kind of tearing it apart and, as mentioned before, a little bit, hooking it up to the LLM so that it can sort of probe and evaluate different things about it and figure out which pins are which and how the power works and stuff like that. So over the weekend, I kind of dove pretty deep into this stuff, got all of that figured out. I was able to write some, I was able to get stock MicroPython on it and then write some proof of concepts that are able to control the audio input and output. And I started working on a CircuitPython board dev for it. That is coming along nicely. That's what I've got it running now. And I've even been able to use a couple of our recent audio demos, like the USB audio voice changing mic and a couple of similar ones like that that are working perfectly. So that's very promising. And I have also started writing a driver for the audio codec chip that's on this device, which happens to be NAU88-2L21. Although looking at it now, I think I have an extra two in there, but it's something like this. I'll have to double check and fix the thing if I'm wrong. And then as part of that, sort of the next major hurdle in this project for me is this chip supports both input and output in I2S land. So you can get audio from it, from the microphone, and you can send audio to it, which it will play out of its 3.5 millimeter jack. In CircuitPython, currently we have I2S in and I2S out, but they both sort of assume that they will be the only things using the pin. They're not made to sort of cohabitate or play nicely together. So that is what I'm going to work on next, is duplex support, where you can have both an instance of I2S in and an instance of I2S out, have them share the clock pins, but just have their own data pins and whatever else they need in order to independently, both receive and send audio. So that is what I will be up to with the remainder of this week. And that's where I'm at. Thanks.
Sounds good. Thank you for all the audio work. It's super cool. Very cool to see.
Yeah, it's been fun to play with a lot of this stuff. I'm still relatively new to the audio world, so it's always cool to work on something, and the test is like make weird sounds and stuff. So it's always fun for development.
Sure. I'm excited to try it on the Game Boy cart to see if I can't get that stuff going into the Game Boy.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for your status updates. Next up, we have a section called In the Weeds. We have no weeds to wade into this week, but for those of you listening or just lurking, this is a chance for you to ask us about stuff that we're working on. So if you say, like, hey, I want to do this thing, how should it be done? Or, hey, like, what's the priority for this other thing? This is a chance to do it. And like I said before, you're always able to add topics to this as well, so you could add in the weeds even if you're not able to make it, and we'll do our best to address that in the subsequent meeting, but for now we don't have anything, so let's wrap up. This has been the CircuitPython weekly meeting for July 20th. It looks like next week we are on normal schedule, so thank you to everybody who was able to attend. If you want to support Adafruit and CircuitPython, and those of us that work on CircuitPython for Adafruit, consider purchasing from the Adafruit shop at adafruit.com or a reseller like DigiKey. The video of this meeting is released on YouTube at youtube.com/Adafruit, and the podcast of the audio will be available on all podcast services. It will also be featured in the Python for Microcontrollers newsletter next week. You can, as a reminder, you can visit adafruitdaily.com to subscribe to that. As I said before, the meeting is the usual time, 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific next week. It's held on the Adafruit Discord server, which you can join anytime by going to the URL adafru.it/discord. If you want to be notified about the meeting and any changes to the time or day, you can ask to be added to the CircuitPythonistas role on Discord. With that, we hope to see you all next week. Thank you, everybody.